like to start out by saying that I appreciate the opportunity to come this way this evening. Appreciate kind words that Brother Jeff shared. He's always overstates things a little bit, but I do appreciate it. Most of all, though, I truly desire that the Lord would help me that He'd be pleased when the conclusion of the service is done. And so I desire that the Lord use me and He'll use you in whatever way He sees fit. And that we'll be willing and have a desire to let Him use us in. It might be pleased with the service. I'll take a reading lesson this evening out of the book of John, chapter 18, and I'll be reading starting with verse 37. I'll go ahead and give you my topic. The topic is, what is truth? Verse 37, John chapter 18. Well, I'll back up and I'll read verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" So we use truth in our everyday life and used in courtrooms. We certainly use it in church. And it's a big word. And when you really get down to looking at truth and dig into it, and if you look at the definition of the word truth, you get different variety of definitions. And certainly an objective truth is one that's based on facts and reality, and certainly that's truth. And other words that when you look at truth, it says truth equal certainty. Truth is firm, it's sure, trustworthy, faithful, secure, fidelity, steadfastness, true, reliable, stable, indeed, verily. But it's certain, and it's firm. It's something you can build on. So that's the definitions of truth as we would understand it through the definitions we have in the world. And we'll try to get into what the Bible specifically says about truth as well as we go through this. one of the words there that was the first one is certain, that truth equals certainty. And so when you look at the scripture, there are some things that are indicated that they are certain. And in Matthew 24 and verse 35, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So right there, we know that his words are fit the definition of the certainty of truth. In other words, the words are not going away. One day, this earth and all is going to be gone, but the words are going to stand. The words are going to stand. Another one I think is pertinent to consider is in Malachi and chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Amen. I'll stop right there. So that's pretty certain right there. I change not. So that fits the definition of truth as well. Now then, so those things are certain. Those things would equate to truth. But also in the world, and there's things that are uncertain. And I want to look at that as well. They basically don't have standards. There's not a standard. There's not a foundation. They're not firm. When I was in high school, I took, another school. I also had other things, but when I first noticed it was in high school, I had a sociology class in high school, and they taught a lot of stuff that I completely disagreed with when I was in the class, but I could pass the test. You know, I knew the answers that they were looking for, but they were awful, really. They said that, right and wrong was determined by social norms. Whatever society accepted as being okay, that was what was right, and you could be on the opposite side of that, let's say if you believe in the Bible and what it says, then in our society, if you go with social norms, if you say that homosexuality is bad, they'll say you're wrong, and they'll condemn you for it. And that's what you get with this these social norms, but it varies. It depends on what society says. That's why they taught that, and that's way back. I mean, that was when I was in high school, and it's not gotten any better than it was then. And so it's kind of a subjective truth. In other words, it's perspective. And to take that even a step further, I don't know when it really started, not too long ago, maybe 5 years ago is when I first noticed it, but they start talking about my truth. You know, my truth, like that there's more than one truth. To me, that's nonsense. If there's truth, it has to be one. There can only be one truth. There can't be many. But it's like they say, well, my truth, like that my truth, and they could be looking, staring at the truth right in the face and say, well, my truth is that something else. And see, that's, to me, again, that's just part of that same thing that I got back in high school that, well, it's kind of, it varies, you know. And there's people that teach that, and there's college professors that have been admired, that they call it really, there was modernism, which was the realism, and then the postmodernism, there's the ones that say it's all relative. So it's in our schools. It was in my high school, Eden LaFette, Macon County High. And I was talking to my brother. I'm kind of getting maybe off my sermon just a little bit, but it comes to my mind. And I asked him about that. I said, I remember when in high school, and, you know, I didn't say a thing about it to you know, anybody, this is wrong, they shouldn't have done it. And I said, Harold Blankenship, you know, good missionary Baptist and principal. And it's like he had to know that this was being taught. And what do you think about that? And he said, well, he said they probably decided that if you've been grounded in the doctrine of the churches you go to, that it's not going to have an effect. And I said, well, that's true. It didn't. And he said that you're exposed. You understand what the world is thinking and doing. And I said, well, yeah, it accomplished that. And it did. I'm standing here before you as a witness that I noted then it wasn't right. And I'm saying today, I know it wasn't right and still not right. But it's in the world. And it probably is good that we be aware of these things that are being taught and the things in the world and how people look at things that's different from the way that we should. As certain, well, the whole world should, but certainly as missionary Baptists, we need to know what the truth is and be understanding that we can stand it and defend it. So like I say, the my truth, I don't know where that came from exactly, but it just seems an extension of just kind of growing out from where I saw things way back many years ago. So when I think about that and my truth prideful, or in other words, if I want to do wrong, I can say, well, my truth is that that's okay. And so I'm sitting there, I'm determining what's good and evil. And my thought went back to the serpent back in the garden with Eve, and what the serpent do. I'll go ahead and read this. It's good scripture. I'll start with verse 3 in chapter 3 of Genesis. It says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And to me, that falls right in line with this my truth stuff. It's like I can decide what's right and wrong. And that's exactly what the devil tempted Eve with. So we're susceptible to it. Eve was susceptible to it. We're no better than Eve was and Adam. So we certainly see that, you know, there's truth, and then there's things that are not truth, which is basically comes down to, well, I mean, it can be mistakes, but when it's on purpose, it's a lie. And so in that regard, then we have in John chapter 8 talking about the devil. Let me get over here. Chapter 8 and verse 44. It says, this is Jesus speaking. It says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So that's the opposite of truth, and that's the father of it right there, is the devil. Going a bit further, this is book of Titus, and verse 2, and this is the opposite now of the devil. Speaking of God, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie, in fact. So we see there that we see truth, and God is truth, and the Satan is the father of lies. And so that's one form of truth, certainly. So there's truth, and we need to consider at this point what we should do with truth. So what does the Bible say about what is truth? And in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, it says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." I'm going to go ahead and bounce through some of these other ones. So that's God. And in John 14, 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So I'm the way, the truth is Jesus, and the life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay, next is in James 1, 18. It says, "Of his own will begat us with the word of truth." So the word is truth. We've already established that. And then in John chapter 5, it is a spirit who testifies, because the spirit is the truth. Amen. So going one more, John 15, 26, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the spirit of truth." Yeah. So we got God, Jesus, we've got the spirit, and then also thrown in there is the word, which is Jesus, and then we got the Comforter, which is the spirit, which it's all one. It's all one, all truth. All bundled. So we see what the Bible says, what truth is, right there. So then we can move on from there. And we've defined what truth is in the world. We've defined what truth is in the Bible. And then what should we do with the truth? So in Proverbs 23 and 23, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Now, another scripture, it says to sell all you have and buy a pearl of great price. So when it says buy the truth, I think you need to basically, whatever it takes, sell all, sell out. Amen. To buy the truth and sell it not. And then when you have the truth, you've got that foundation, that firm, that certainty. It's something you can build on. And then when you're going to build on it, it says also wisdom and instruction and understanding. You can build on the truth then. That's going to be solid. You try to build on this stuff out in the world where it changes. At one time, it's whatever society says is okay or not okay. Move and target. Now, if you build on the scripture, it says, I change not. The word's going to last when the heaven and earth is gone. You can build on it if you build it on the truth. So buy it, sell it not. Okay. I'm going to turn over here to Book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 13. So we need to buy the truth, all right? And then it says in Ephesians 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." All right, so if you're going to put on the full armor of God, part of that is truth. Amen. And so armor, you think about defensive, armor's defensive, and I think about when the Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, what did Jesus use to defend himself? He used scripture. Amen. Sure did. That truth, he used the truth on him. And the devil couldn't get around him. So the truth is valuable. It's good for armor. It's good in many ways, of course. So we'll go further in terms of the truth and what we should do with it. This is John chapter 3, and I'll begin with verse 20. It says, "For everyone that doeth evil," let's see, 3. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But that he doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So if our deeds are, if we do truth, then we can come to the light and they'll hold up. But those that they want to do evil, they want to run from the light. They don't want us, their deeds to have that light shine on them. That truth is not there. So there's another one that we need to exercise for truth. John chapter 16 and 13. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So we have the Spirit of truth. It says he will guide you into all truth. So we need to let the truth guide us. And the truth is going to guide lost people to humble themselves. It's going to convict them. It's going to let them know where they stand before God in separation. And the truth then is also going to be able to guide us into even better works, into to better service to God, to have a greater influence, a better life, a better eternity. So truth is very valuable, and the Spirit of truth will guide us if we'll desire to follow after it. So to kind of, I think I hit those kind of fast, but so in summary, so we need to buy the truth, and we need to put it on as armor, and we need to do the truth, and we need to follow it. So we do those things, and God is going to be pleased with us. And so when I think about those things and kind of put it together, this is in John chapter 4 and verse 24. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So again, the truth is right there, tied in with the Spirit. And I think about, I've thought about this more than once, Zechariah chapter 4, and Brother Barry, he did a good sermon on that lesson about the two olive trees and before the lampstand and the gold tubes and the oil that was coming in. It was Spirit and truth, if I remember right. And so the Spirit is good, and it's needful, and that's what it takes to worship God. It's got to be done in spirit and in truth. So at this point, I'll go back to Pilate in Jesus' interaction there, so Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And I don't know what he really didn't. Jesus didn't really answer him per se, it would have been a long answer, I think, if Jesus had really told him what truth was. But when I think about it and I look at what Jesus did say to him, I'm going to read it again. So this would be verse 37. It says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, okay, thou sayest that I am a king. It says, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. So he said, okay, I'm a king, and he was. He came to this earth. He was born, and the truth in the book of Micah, foretold he was going to be born in Bethlehem, and he was. In Isaiah, there's all these prophecies that were before Jesus came, the truth, and it held up. And he fulfilled all that. It was true. It was truth. And so it says that, so he did these things. So he came, and Jesus came to save the world, to give an opportunity for lost people to have a way to escape the devil's hell from the big mistake, the gross mistake that Eve made back there with the serpent when he beguiled her, when he lied to her, deceived her. And so it says that he said that I should bear witness unto the truth. And this is the interesting thing that I found about that when I looked into the witness. And we talk about truth, and courtrooms usually have witnesses come forward oftentimes. And of course, the Bible instructs that you need to have from the mouths of two or three witnesses to establish, the truth in terms of like a courtroom situation. But when if you look at the etymology of the word witness, when it, translated from Greek to English, the Greek word for witness is martyreo, is the Greek word, and it comes from the word martus, which means martyr. Now, what is a martyr? A martyr is those who, after his example, have, this is the definition, have proved the strength and genuineness of their faith in Christ by undergoing a violent death. Now, Jesus did undergo a violent death. And when he said he came to bear witness, that's what he was saying. When he said, I'm going to bear witness, it was all of it, but it also included that death on the cross of Calvary. He came to die. And that was part of that bearing witness of the truth that he did there. So when I think about this in total and the truth, and this whole Bible is about Jesus.
Amen.
It is. You can look at about any one part of it, and it's gonna be directing you right to him and his work. And from the Old Testament through the New Testament, it's all about Jesus. And Jeff, Amen. You also say it's all about Jesus. It truly is all about Jesus. The truth is, certainly. And I think about the whole book and start with Genesis and what happened there, the big mistake, and that Jesus came, and it's kind of an account of a big mistake that was made, and there was such love of this God that his only begotten Son came, and he gave him up and let him die to help rectify that terrible mistake that was made. And then I think a little further, because that was accomplished. And what we get to look forward to, it's also, and there's also in that account, it talks about that this father has got a son, and he loves him so much. He's looking for a bride for him. And he wants a bride for him that's got robes, that's pure and white. He wants a pristine bride for him. And this book is about that too. And that truth hasn't arrived yet to the fulfillment of it, but it's in process right now. It's in process right now. So when I think about the truth, it captures the simple definitions we have in this world, but there's a whole lot behind the meaning of truth, and I'm thankful that we have it today. That's my message, Brother Jeff.